"You need to buy a plant," said Ginger. Ginger was my spiritual director about 13 years ago. Recently divorced, I had just moved back to the United States, and I was in a bad place. New to Oak Park, new to a post-9/11 country I no longer recognized, new to my job, new to my condo, new to my furniture. I felt as if I had suddenly taken up residence in a life I did not choose. "I want you to buy a plant," said Ginger. "And just what do I do with it?" I snarled. "Well," she replied, "what do you think? Care for it. Watch it. Watch it grow new shoots. Look for baby blossoms. And as you care for it, see how it mirrors your life." I still have that plant, mostly as a reminder that when I feel trapped by a part of my life, I need to buy another plant. Well, friends, as you might imagine, when Gensler Gardens announced that they, as a newly declared essential business, were reopening, I was out there faster than you can say philodendron. And this time, I wasn't there to buy a plant. Given the entrapment I'd been feeling lately, I was there to buy the greenhouse. As I entered the store, despite the fact that I was wearing my N95, which I incidentally despise, I was literally glee-filled. Up and down the rows I glided, literally grinning at the Asian basil and at the fiber optic grasses. And then I saw what I was really looking for. "Excuse me, ma'am," I said to another masked woman standing across the table from me. "Is that the Calibracoa?" Though I'm certain we were at least 6 feet apart, she looked at me with horror in her eyes, audibly huffed at me, and raced her cart away. This terrified woman treated me as if I was an escaped convict who had spilled an entire petri dish of COVID germs in her lap. And somehow, in her fear, she managed to soil the joy I was seeking in a greenhouse full of life. And our psalmist writes, "I am an object of dread to my neighbors. Those who see me on the street flee from me." Wow. Apparently, I wasn't the first victim of social distancing. Today's psalm is perfect for the COVID-19 moment in which we live. And yet, in other ways, this psalm can feel a bit foreign to us with its almost militant language of enemies and paranoid language of the laying of traps. That doesn't necessarily sound like our everyday experience. I mean, think about it. We all have folks that we don't like and who quite honestly aren't too fond of us either. I remember working in Chicago with Adam, a true manipulator and slime bucket. I distrusted him so intensely that 1 year I actually made a New Year's resolution to be nicer to him. Still, though Adam was unctuous and slithery, I would have been hard-pressed to call him a mortal enemy. While he made our lives miserable, I would never go so far as to say he plotted against my life. But if we were to apply this to Jesus in this morning's gospel reading, then the talk of real enemies plotting to take one's life makes sense. How odd, isn't it, that in the midst of these 50 days of Easter, we find ourselves with Jesus back on the night he is to be arrested. And today we hear Jesus' final words with his disciples. But even short of that, there is much to the language of Psalm 31 that relates to us after all. Perhaps, especially in this Easter season, when the nave of our church still sits stripped from Maundy Thursday, social isolation is keeping us from spending Mother's Day with our mothers, and word on the street is that it might take a year to move beyond stage 4 of our governor's plan to restore Illinois and for us to gather as a full congregation again. This is a moment to recognize how desperate, lonely, and confused we all are. But this is also a moment to rest in some of the other parts of this reading. My time, writes the psalmist, my times are in your hands. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Yes, our time is in God's hands. We're so used to having appointments, haircut appointments, play date appointments, manicure appointments, massage appointments, medical appointments. And yes, we've all done it. Crossed stuff off. Deleted concerts, classes, vacations, proms, graduations, dinners with friends. And as we look at our calendars, which are now composed primarily of empty boxes, we realize that our times were never really in our hands at all. Our times are indeed and always have been in God's hands, though God allowed us to believe otherwise. And if you're wired like I am, a certain amount of self-worth is drawn from all the busyness, a modicum of success, right? And so let us receive this time as a gift to remember what we so often risk forgetting. God's face is shining on us with grace and love. And this is what we need the most. And this can never be taken from us. But if you absolutely must do something, I suggest you buy a plant. Take this time to watch it grow, care for it, and see how it mirrors your life. Amen.